Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Blood Red podcast, sponsored by NordVPN. I'm your host, Keith McDonald. Today I'm joined by Theo Squires and Paul Gorst, here to chew the fat off yesterday's 1-0 defeat to Crystal Palace. Gorst, we'll get straight into it then. You were at Anfield yesterday. It was only a third Premier League defeat of the season for Liverpool, but this one feels pretty detrimental even after Arsenal's loss to Aston Villa a few hours later, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult to know how to take that Arsenal result. I think you might have said to me, didn't you, at the time that I think it was 0-0, but Villa were well on top just as we were leaving Anfield. And I think you said they'd probably feel even worse if Aston Villa get a result. And it does feel a little bit like that, but I suppose you've got to be a bit pragmatic and say that ultimately that was a good result for Liverpool and probably the best result, you know, of Liverpool's week. I think I called it in my verdict the most damaging home result at Anfield in the Premier League for 10 years. You know, since that Chelsea game, the infamous Gerrard slip. It feels like it's got the potential to have a similar impact in terms of just taking an entire season's work entirely off course with regards to a title challenge. And not much has made me change my mind in the hours since, really. It's not quite terminal. You know, it's only 2 points off City and Arsenal still on the same points, haven't been beaten by Villa. But it's not, I'm saying to Theo earlier on, it's not so much the points deficit now, it's just the fact that Liverpool look like they've totally ran out of steam. I think we're seeing a delayed hangover from the injuries of February when they had 13 players missing for a couple of games, didn't they? Certainly the Southampton game in the FA Cup and the League Cup final when I think it was 11 and then Gravenberch goes off and then Endo's injured as well. I think the fewest injuries that Liverpool have had up until last week, I think it was still like 7 or 8 who were still out, and Liverpool have, you know, played on admirably, but ultimately, you're kind of made to forget that the likes of Conor Bradley and Kwanzaa and Kelleher have played so much football, and that's not to dig out any of those. They've had fantastic individual seasons. It's just something that you forget about, given that Liverpool have been able to mask the injuries for so long, but it does look like it's all kind of snowballing at just the wrong time. And the players who are coming back, you know, they're not going to be 100%, and that's understandable, but, you know, even like the likes of Jota and Alexander-Arnold, who've only come back to training last week, and Alisson, you're still looking at the likes of Curtis Jones and Szoboszlai and Mo Salah, certainly, for me, as players who aren't anywhere near 100% because of those injuries that they've had, and it's just a little bit of a perfect storm, and now they need help, massive help from Tottenham against Arsenal, against City. And it's looking like the title might be coming home. It's very difficult to reflect on yesterday's results with too much optimism. And Liverpool, they created one or two chances, 3 or 4 chances maybe, but ultimately I think Palace were comfortable for large parts of yesterday. And another damaging home result.
Absolutely, and Theo, you were there at Anfield yesterday as well. And it felt like, you know, we saw against Atalanta on Thursday, Crystal Palace almost followed that exact same script. And it you know, Liverpool did have the chances. You know, they created the XG to start to back that up. But in terms of doing the basics, in terms of five-yard passes and even following markers, I mean, Eze for his goal was acres of space in the box, wasn't he? You kind of subscribe to the same theory as Gorsi that, you know, fatigue is starting to kick in now ahead of the final few weeks of the season.
You're bringing an XG there. This isn't analysing Anfield, mate. But yeah, it wasn't a surprise, I think, Liverpool's performance after seeing what happened against Atalanta on Thursday, which was a lot worse. I think we're all a bit negative, resigned to this is Liverpool coming off the wheel, the track now. The wheels have come off. They've run out of steam at the wrong moment, and they're stuck in between getting players back from injury and getting them up to steam and get speed. Sorry, just as players are getting fatigued, and it's all kind of falling apart at the wrong moment. It's a difficult one to assess because Liverpool now, with the players coming back to this position they're in, where they could leave players out of the squad, if they can pick up form, it's not over. They can rescue the season somewhat, whether it's a miraculous recovery against Atalanta or take the title race at the final day. But it did feel very, very damaging against Crystal Palace. Like, Endo is a player who hasn't looked right since he got the injury. Was it the Sheffield United game he missed?
It's just an unspecified knock, wasn't it? And you're right about that. Yeah.
He's not looked right since he's come back from that. Like, they've probably rushed him to get him fit for Manchester United, mm-hmm. and he's played the last two since. And it was no surprise to see him substituted at half-time. But the players, they look mentally drained. Like, they're making sloppy decisions with the passing. Like, the through balls just aren't coming off. And you can forgive, say, Trent coming back and trying those diagonals and they're not quite coming off after such a long layoff. Mm. But when it's players that have been there for a long time now and been picking up the points, they've just dropped off completely. It's very hard to see where they go now, if they can turn it around. Like, there's only two players, I think, in the past week that can come emerge from it with any credit at all, and that's Robertson and Gakpo. And it's perhaps telling that those are two players that they've taken time to get back to form after injury, but now they've had that bit of time, they've shown a bit of form. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame the other nine players alongside them aren't. Maybe in a couple of weeks' time we can say the same thing about Trent, Salah, Szoboszlai, but at this point you fear it could be too late. You're just relying on other teams, and that's never a position you want to be in. But you can have a dream, you can have a positivity here. City's next two league games are Brighton away, Nottingham Forest away. I still can see James Milner, Adam Lallana down in them 1 week, Divock Origi the next. They can come good for Jurgen Klopp one last time. We can all but hope, can't we?
But Gorsi, it was 2 weeks ago after that Brighton game, I think it was kind of immediately after the game that me and you spoke, and we said maybe Anfield was a little bit too emotional, maybe getting caught up in it. And obviously it's hard to kind of tell whether the same has been felt at the Emirates and the Etihad. But he did feel like that yesterday, almost from, you know, minute one. And, you know, Liverpool have gone down, you know, 16 times in the league this season. They've obviously got 27 points from losing positions the most in the league. But it felt like there was something different about yesterday. It didn't feel that there was going to be this inevitability that Liverpool would strike back. I don't know if that's something that you agree with or you noticed.
Well, when Palace scored, you kind of thought, well, here we go again. Mm. You know, Liverpool used to conceding the first goal of the season, aren't they? And I think that's been a trend now for best part of 2 years, Liverpool starting slowly in games. And I don't know how you go about rectifying that, to be honest. We can all kind of have our say on certain things tactically and little things like that, but I don't actually know what any sort of solution would be to starting games well. You know, you can say it to your blue in the face, can't you? Pre-match, you know, start the game well, keep it tight, whatever else, but Liverpool just aren't doing that. So when they went a goal down, I wasn't majorly concerned because it's a storyline you've seen time and again this season, haven't you? So I thought eventually Liverpool will get it right. And the first half is the worry and the concern because that's another one that's been like a season-long trend. Liverpool just been nowhere near it for so many of the first halves of games, and considering this is a team that are going for the title now in mid-April, you can probably count on one hand the amount of comfortable afternoons that they've had in the Premier League this season. You know, we were talking before, weren't we? And I can think of Nottingham Forest off the top of my head, and you mentioned somebody else.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
Villa Luton, but there's not been any for the last couple of months.
There's not many at all, is there? And that's, I think that's a jarring thing. I think that eventually will take it out of a team. On the flip side, Arsenal and City have made light of more teams, you know, throughout the season, and that's probably why they've got more energy reserves in the final weeks, and that ultimately could have a big say in how it's all going to shake up. So, yeah, you know, the fact that they're still in it is a positive, but I just wonder how much has been taken out of a squad that have had too many injuries as well on top of all of that. And Also, as well, I was thinking about it just to maybe play devil's advocate. So you wonder how much wisdom is in the Klopp announcement in January. Obviously, it had to come out at some point, but since then, it's been this kind of emotional groundswell of having to finish the season off strongly for him as much as anyone else and anything else. And that's just contributed to a lack of control at times, you know, too much emotion going into games and all that type of stuff. And look, I suppose we can argue as to when, where and when would have been the right time to make that announcement. But since then, the idea of it being, you know, an extra kind of motivating factor, you know, on the flip side, it you know, there is an argument that it could have had a negative impact. And certainly in some games, like yesterday, it just feels as though, you know, had we not known that Jürgen Klopp was leaving, had the players not known, and you wonder how much difference certain afternoons could have been. Not necessarily results, because Liverpool have still been getting results up until late, but just the manner of how they've had to fight back in so many games. And it does look now as though they're running out of steam at the wrong time.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
If you think back to the Liverpool side at their absolute best under Klopp, 18, 19, 19, 20, I think if we were then and he made the decision in January, you'd have no complaints. Like, the squad would be able to see it over the line. There are a lot of players that have won absolutely everything. They've got that experience. But you look at this squad now, and we're praising them earlier in the season, saying how well they're doing, how young they are, how this is just the start. But this is just the start. Like, you've got a lot of young players there who hadn't played Premier League football before the start of the season, be it because they've come in from Germany or they've come up from the academy after going out on loan in League One. You think even Endo, he's not played without a winter break before. Szoboszlai's not played without a winter break before. We know what Gravenberch has had issues getting game time in Germany and Holland. Again, no winter break. McAllister's the one who, until now, had been having the best form of the new signings, and that's because he's used to playing English football, and it's only now because he's having to play week in, week out, that he's not been able to keep up the last couple of games. But they're just lacking that little bit of experience, expertise of what it takes at this point of the season, and that's something you can never accuse Man City of. Like, Pep Guardiola come out and said, after their win against Luton, my players love the pressure, whether they're going to win the title or not. They know what it means to do it in this situation, and that's spot on, isn't it? Like, their squad is filled with players who've won the Premier League year after year. Arsenal, their squad's got a little bit more experience than some of these Liverpool players because they're actually in the title race last year. So, like, when Liverpool lost out in 18-19, they could fuel off that. Whereas this Liverpool squad, while you've got a Van Dijk, you've got a Salah, Alisson, Trent Robertson, the rest of it, who have had to pick up the pieces when a number of those players have been out injured, just lacking that little bit something. And when you think, yes, we want to do this for Jürgen Klopp, they've not got the experience of doing it for Jürgen Klopp in the past. And it's just 4 months now, isn't it? We're waiting until the end of the season. If the decision had come out in March, maybe you've got that ride for the next couple of months.
You probably get like a 6-8 week period anyway. It's, you know,
I can understand why they had to say
that. That happened initially, didn't it?
Yeah.
But obviously it kind of tailed off after a certain point. I just think there was a nervousness to Liverpool yesterday. There was a period there in the first half when they were trying to play it out from the back, as they do. And they were getting pressed quite well, and they were finding each other, but every pass was just off, and a couple of touches were heavy, and it was all just a bit worrying for you know, considering it wasn't necessarily a dangerous position, and it just kind of turned into one by, like, I think Szoboszlai took a heavy touch and played it behind Endo, and Endo had to, like, reach for it, and then he played it to Konate, and Konate looked cumbersome all game, I thought. It was just needless, really, and that feeds into the crowd, doesn't it? And then that feeds back, and you get almost a bit of an unwanted snowball effect. And I just felt like that was happening too often at times last season. At times yesterday, and it was only Robertson, really, like you say, Robertson who emerged with any real credit from the players who started, and Gakpo off the bench who's had a decent week, but in a decent week when he hasn't been able to rescue it. So it was just a a terrible day and a really poor week.
And absolutely, and I suppose like normally, you know, you speak about Robertson there, normally that goal line clearance would be kind of enough to kind of almost galvanise the crowd. Yeah. And you think, you know, maybe after that they'll kind of kick on and, you know, get into the, you know, gears, whatever. But they just didn't really land the glove on Palace all afternoon. I mean, they had chances, and, you know, the stats back that up. I mean, Nunes had a few, Endo had that hit the bar, Jones had that one-on-one, Jota, you know, client blocked his shot on the line, you know, Diaz, I mean, the list goes on really on another day. I think Dean Henderson said it, that they did ride their luck at times, Crystal Palace. On another day, Liverpool could have won 3 or 4-1 and, you know, it wouldn't have been argued against that it was, you know, a deserved victory. But is you know, this kind of narrative that Liverpool aren't finishing their chances and, you know, not choking, but, you know, the conviction just hasn't been there in recent weeks, has it? Maybe since that United FA Cup game. Is that a mentality thing or is that a fatigue thing? Or what would you say, Theo?
I think the United game dented confidence a little bit. Both of them really, and Jurgen Klopp, he alluded to this yesterday, didn't he? He didn't say United's the reason it's all fallen apart, but they haven't reacted well to the manner of those games.
And the noise as well from, I think, a lot of people in certain quarters, it's almost felt like because they lost that cup game in the manner which it did. I mean, as you say, Klopp said it, if they'd lost 4-0, it almost would have been better, wouldn't it? You think, because, you know, how many teams go there and play at Old Trafford? And
it was an extra time period they didn't need in that cup game as well.
Yeah.
Players going into the international break with injury. Like, we were looking at the international break going, this is a blessing. Players can get rested here, can come back in a good condition. But it doesn't look like any of them have. Like, Diaz was doing okay, but Nunes, he just looks at a pale imitation of the player we were seeing before the break. Salah, he's not been at his best since, well, December, January, for a variety of reasons with international football injuries and that. It's just all very strange how they've had to deal with that United game. It's just more sickening that it's United, like the broken Liverpool. But I think we've been waiting for this moment to happen. Like, it was a surprise how Liverpool managed those 2-3 months when everyone was out injured, how the academy lads stepped up. But now you are stuck in that window where the players coming back aren't there yet, but the players who have been playing, they just run out of steam. And it needs to be a quick turnaround here where the players who are coming back step up and make it count. Maybe Atalanta on Thursday can be that, because you see that game as a perfect opportunity to start a Jota, maybe a Trent. And they can maybe get an hour in the legs, get a bit of form there, and then get a goal if it's Jota. Then you're taking that into the weekend. But yeah, it's very difficult few weeks for Liverpool from that United Cup game where it all just went horribly wrong. They got a couple of wins on the return, but they weren't convincing, were they? It was that emotion grinding out at the end. We've been saying all along, Liverpool cannot do another 2 months of this if they want to win the title. They need to get control of the games. They need to take that emotion out of it. They need to play like a side that is going to win the Premier League, and they just run out of steam.
That's why I thought the Sheffield United game was perfect for them, because, you know, Sheffield United, rock bottom of the league, conceding 3s, 4s and 5s, 6s most weeks. Coming to the Anfield with one of the worst records, in fact, the worst record of a 38-game season at that stage. And you're thinking, this is an ideal... You're never counting your chickens, of course, but this is an ideal one for Liverpool to you know, knock a few in, rest a few legs, straightforward day at the office, and then, you know, you're looking ahead. So I think it was a United game the following weekend. And again, Liverpool go down, having to fight back, eventually win a 3-1, but it wasn't without its own... you know, massive kind of emotional, you know, charge. And, you know, when that's happening against, with respect to Sheffield United, you're probably concerned that at some stages they're going to come across, but they're going to come unstuck. And they got away with it a little bit against Brighton. You know, went down early after, what was it, 90 seconds, still had most of the game to score 2 goals. But it's been happening far too often for Liverpool to get away with it every week. And finally it caught up with them yesterday, and full credit to Palace, defended superbly, I thought. Obviously conceded big chances, which is going to happen at Anfield, but ultimately I thought they probably deserved to win.
Yeah, like, you look at the chances there, Jones should score, but the defender's done well keeping the pace with him, pulling it back a little bit without committing the foul. When you're not at your 100% best and you've got that player on your heels, and you're not normally in that position, is if it was Salah or one of the forwards, you've got a bit more confidence there. You can understand why Jones missed, even though it's a chance he should score. Not forgiving Nunes at all for that volley. That is just amateur. He's hit that as hard as he can, But you can just put that in the corner. If you do that power, even slight to the side, nothing is stopping it in the world. You say it's good goalkeeping for the one from Henderson against Diaz in the first half. Endo's unlucky. It's a scramble off the underside of the bar. Salah's had a couple blocked. It was really good defending from Klein on Jota. But yeah, it's just, they're just looking like they don't have that confidence in their abilities. They're not taking that extra moment to think. And we saw that against Atalanta when Nunes doesn't try and round the keeper. He tries to do a little dink again. There was a lot of attention when they're on social media or what Michael Owen had said after his goal against Brentford. They're going, that is a world-class finish, but 9 times out of 10, you don't score that.
Yeah.
You need to think of a more consistent way of finishing. And Nunes, we know he's very raw in those sort of positions, and sometimes it's brilliant, sometimes he scores amazing goals, and sometimes he wastes absolute sitters. It's like, I think, me in the 6-yard box, clean volley, I score that. I don't get how he's just hit it straight at the goalkeeper, Liverpool, but this has been a situation they've been in for a number of weeks now, not taking these chances, and it's only when you look back at them, you think, you really should do better there. You've only got themselves to blame.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I feel like we talk about them loads, but I just kind of want to make this point out of my... I said to a mate of mine a few weeks ago, too often he goes, like, conventional wisdom as a striker is to go hard and low across the keeper. He tends to go hard and high and keepers near post too often. There was a bit of, in the United game where he sort of works a bit of room past Varane and then smashes it near post and Anana's, you know, and he just gets a left hand to it and puts it over the bar. Just too often he tends to go for the power, doesn't he, or not across the keeper. And yesterday was a perfect example of it, where either side of Henderson probably scores, doesn't he? Certainly with that power. He doesn't need to put that much power on it. Just either side of him and you're probably scoring a goal. And look, he's had a really good season. Don't wish to kind of rewrite history. He's had a superb season. He scored 18 goals. Could easily be closer to the 30 mark if he'd have stuck away the ones that you'd normally expect a striker of his calibre to. But I still think for all the praise that we've given him and for all the criticisms of his misses, that there's a player in there and that there's work to be done. So I think it'll be a big summer for him and the coaches of trying to just up that goal return, because there's no doubt in there he's a superb player at times on his day and all that, absolute handful. But last couple of games he's been aggressively marked by, can't remember the guy's name for Atalanta, but certainly Joachim Andersen yesterday. I thought he was excellent against them, and not one of his better days. But there's a player in there, if they can just polish those rough edges, and I think it's a huge summer for him going forward. But you know, what's he got left in the tank to help now for the rest of the season? Because while Salah's still nursing the effects of that hangover issue, I think, you know, he was struggling with that on and off, wasn't he, for weeks. I think Nunes probably has to do more.
Yeah, like Nunes is finished as well. We know he's got it in his locker, because we saw against Newcastle, the ones where he gets in behind the defence, he hits it hard, but he hits it low, across goal. That is the perfect finish. He wins Liverpool game. Even one where it's a header against Forest, where he puts that in the perfect place, he's got a calm head to finish that. But then it was after that game where he gets the couple of knocks. And it's really since Forest where it's not looked right for Liverpool in these sorts of positions. Because we could go back to the Brentford game. Salah comes back and he looked rusty in terms of finishing positions, but he had a good cameo appearance there. He scores a good goal. If he doesn't then get the next setback, maybe he's in a better state now. It just seems to be they've all stumbled that one time too often.
Absolutely. I think the thing I always say with Nunes is that he doesn't have that finish. I always remember Sturridge, I think, maybe this time last year, I think when they drew at Chelsea 0-0, and obviously it's easy to compare to Henry, you know, probably the greatest Premier League striker of all time, but, you know, you look at, he always had that bend around the goalkeeper, didn't he? And I don't think Nunes has a go-to finish, so kind of every time that he has to run goal, he's thinking...
Just smash it.
He's kind of making that decision then when, you know, better strikers would know before the ball's even played into them, wouldn't they?
Jota's got every finish in his locker.
Yeah, I mean, he's the perfect one-touch finisher, isn't he? But it's obviously there's been loads of talk about the kind of the top end of the pitch and maybe not doing their job. But another alarming stat, Gorsi, is there's no home. There's not been a clean sheet in the Premier League at Anfield since December, the United game, and in the last 8 games, there's been no clean sheets at all. I think the last one will be Forest at the City Ground, the 1-0 win. So I mean, you can talk about 68 shots over the last 3 games, scoring 2 goals, but I think that's a real concern. Liverpool conceding chances and giving up really easy goals, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, how many times have Liverpool had their first choice back five in those games? Probably Zero, I'd suggest. Even yesterday, you know, Conor Bradley started ahead of Trent, didn't he? And Bradley's been superb this season, made himself a first-team player. Exciting future, and the need for a kind of deputy right-back has eased significantly since his emergence. But, you know, you sometimes forget that he's starting. You don't really bat an eyelid now, but it's still a hugely inexperienced player when you're trying to go through the kind of nitty-gritty of the final weeks of a title challenge. Goes off injured. Jarrell Kwanza is another one, you know, being superb, but that mistake at United. I just think with defending being such a systemic thing, you know, we kind of analyse forward players and what they can do with moments of brilliance and whatever else, but defending is very much what you do as a collective, a back four, a back five. And for too long, Liverpool haven't had the ability to field all their best players in those positions, so maybe that's having a bit of an impact to those statistics that you just mentioned. But I suppose, on the flip side, they've got them all fit and ready to go now, haven't they, with the comeback of Trent. Konate's the worrying one for me. He hasn't looked anywhere near it, has he, since he went off in Prague? I thought he was really poor yesterday, both defensively and as a way of bringing the ball out of defence. Some of the passes he played were aimless and lost it, and the atmosphere certainly didn't help for his confidence levels. But, yeah, I mean, Liverpool could just do with a nice little clean sheet, home clean sheet and a victory, couldn't he? But before then, you know, they've still got, was it next three away, Atalanta? Next four. So, it does just feel like everything is just snowballed at once, doesn't it? I mean, I think maybe it's just the modern way now with every defeat being magnified more than ever and the echo chamber of social media, but It's difficult to find positives at the moment.
I don't think it's even just availability. I think it's also the rhythm. Like, how many times have they had the same back five, two games in a row?
Mm.
And when it's, you can get away with it when it's Van Dijk's in there, Alisson's in there, and your first choice fullbacks are in there, and you can take them out of the firing line. But when it's players that haven't got the experience at this level, they haven't played much with these teammates, you can't take that rhythm away from them. And you understand why you need to protect legs. But Joe Gomez, he played a lot of football. He was starting every week. He was doing really well. Maybe the fact that he hasn't been as good the last few weeks is because he's played so much football. Or is it because he's suddenly in and out the side again? Andy Robertson, we've said how great he's been since he came back. Just start him every week at the moment. He's not going to be fatigued as much as the others because he's not played anywhere near as much as the others. He can be the staple in that defence. Van Dijk seems to play every week. There should be another couple that can there. Either stick with a Bradley or a Gomez at right back and pick a centre-back partner. Like, if you're 6-1 up against Sparta Prague on aggregate, then you can put in the other one and rotate legs a bit, rest legs. But you need that rhythm there in your back five. And that's why there'll be an argument with the goalkeepers now going, do you throw Kelleher in because it's Europa League and that's his competition? Or do you want Alisson to get another 90 minutes in front of back four that you can use for the rest of the season? But yeah, it's just when you're conceding sloppy goals and the team isn't used to the formation with who's inverted, who's not, that's how the goal comes about yesterday. Bradley's caught upfield, Konate's dragged over, and there's that space in the middle for Palace to pounce on. It's only when Trent comes on that Konate reverts back to what Liverpool were doing end of last season, start of this season, with Trent dropping into centre-back, receiving possession. They just don't have that consistency there, and that does lead to defensive mistakes because it's not muscle memory for them to be, you're here, you're here, you're here, pick up that man, pick up that man. And it leads to mistakes, it leads to goals, and there's only so many times you can come back and win games, and as we saw yesterday, you can't do it every single time.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Just to read through some listeners' comments, then we've got Darren Walton here. He says, you can't keep conceding first and expect to always score two goals. It's not a recipe to be league champions. I think,
yeah, spot on, yeah.
It's absolutely a fair assessment. We've got Hugh King as well, says, maybe now we're behind, we'll have free minds, would say that the pressure built up. It's now been released following yesterday's defeat. Talk about the title has now passed. Could just be what the team needs. Is that something you guys would agree with?
Yeah, that's not a bad shout, to be fair. You know, if Liverpool playing without the pressure of it all weighing on them heavy around, you know, their own kind of sporting hopes and whatever else to be title winners, but also the Klopp storyline as well that we mentioned. So, yeah, I mean, that's not a bad shout. Maybe the that will kind of free them up to play with a little less pressure in the coming weeks, and you can just play the football and hope for a slip up elsewhere. But yeah, we'll see. That's not a bad point.
Still need a performance where they convince everyone that they've still got something left in the locker.
It feels like we haven't had a statement win all
season. But like we said after Atalanta, you really need to respond against Palace. You need to put three or four past them, be convincing and show there's life left.
And Klopp promised it, didn't he?
Yeah.
In the press conference. And that was a promise that didn't come to pass.
But yeah, that's what Liverpool need now. If like it's all very well taking the pressure off, but this is, if it's just they're burnt out, there is nothing left, there is not going to be a late recovery. But if they can get over that line, find the players getting back into coming back, finding some form, then there is hope for them. We'll see.
I suppose as well is that with City being in FA Cup action next weekend, Liverpool obviously play Fulham and then Everton before City travel to Brighton on the 25th. So there is the chance that, you know, they could be 2 points ahead of City before their next. I know it's a fake lead, but you know, yeah, it's almost, you know, if there's a bit of a glimmer of hope, it kind of puts the emphasis back on City, doesn't it, next time they're in
it? Does, yeah. But you're asking a lot there in terms of not necessarily Fulham, but I'm not convinced that this Liverpool at the moment can go to Everton. And
I'd say Fulham as well.
But I mean, in terms of, you know, derbies, pretty much you shake hands on a draw at Goodison every year, don't you? Just because of how
there's two wins on the clock.
Two wins, and you know, one of them was Sadio Mane, 94th minute or whatever it was back in 2016, and the other one was, okay, Liverpool absolutely battered Everton when they were managed by Benitez. But generally, they don't tend to pick up a result there. So yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Like we say, we're scrabbling around searching for positives, and I don't know about you, Theo, but I'm struggling to grasp at any at the moment.
Yeah, it's only so many times you can say, oh, this player's back from injury now. We can use that as a positive.
We've seen, haven't we, that when they are, you know, it's nice, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're coming back at full pelt. Like Diogo Jota was in sensational form before that injury against Brentford.
Well, that's coming back from injury, which was a freak in itself, that he hit the ground running against Burnley and didn't look back.
Yeah, I think he scored six times between Burnley and Brentford, which was about 6 or 7 weeks. And then gets that injury, and I know he was desperate to make sure that he could feature in the running, so he's got a bit of a running start to feature for Portugal in the Euros, because he missed the World Cup, and that's fair enough, I suppose. But you know, how long does it take him to get back up to top speed?
Six games after the season.
It's not just him, is it? Liverpool are waiting on, you know, Trent was only put on yesterday because of Conor Bradley's injury, and still think Jones is working through it himself, and we mentioned Salah and even Szoboszlai to an extent.
Even
and
Konate,
yeah. I mean, you mentioned Endo as well.
You can throw Nunes in there, because like, he didn't miss a game for Liverpool, but he missed the international break for Uruguay.
That's true, yeah.
When you break it down like that, a lot of players aren't 100%, and that's why they're not doing anything at the moment.
No, absolutely. Well, I'll put you both out of your misery temporarily and move away from Premier League action, and we'll move on to Thursday's second leg against Atalanta.
Even more misery.
yeah, exactly. So obviously 3-0 down from Thursday's first leg. I mean, Gorsi, is there any hope of a comeback?
I mean, given the way Atalanta played in the first leg, you'd be reluctant to say yes, wouldn't you? I thought they were very, you know, aggressive, physical, strong, two big players up front in Di Catalair and Scamacca, who obviously scores the two goals.
Should have got a hat-trick.
Yeah, could have had a hat-trick, couldn't he? But it's just something with Liverpool and Liverpool under Klopp. They have the ability to flick a switch, get the momentum, and they are capable of a quick-fire double, which completely changes the complexion of the tie and the season, I guess. So yeah, you're not totally ruling it out, but at the moment it's looking like, you know, I wouldn't be booking any flights to Dublin or rebooking them if they've been cancelled since last week.
What I found interesting yesterday in the post-match press conference was when Klopp was talking about Bradley and Trent, and he said, Trent can't play 120 minutes after this, put it that way. So he's obviously got extra mind on his mind. Extra time on his mind. He's not thinking that it's done and dusted yet, but it's about putting 11 out there that is fresh and that can actually win the game. With it being a Sunday-Thursday turnaround, it is extra time on the training pitch. Maybe there's an extra day off, or there's extra day preparation. It's another week in training for Jones, Salah, Konate, Szoboszlai, all these players, and it can come together, but we've not seen it come together the last couple of weeks. It's just, if it was at Anfield, you go, yep, sure, Liverpool in front of Anfield, players coming back, wanting to win it for Klopp, yes, they can do it. But it's not just the fact they're going away from home. They're going away to an Italian team, and Italians are notoriously mean defensively. What was it, three centre-backs? That is a massive ask to find a way to get three goals past them. But Atalanta aren't a Juventus. They're not an AC Milan. They're not an Inter Milan. They don't have that European pedigree. Maybe they'll go on and win the competition and create it, but they don't have that experience behind them. If you get an early goal, maybe you can unsettle him. You get a second, you can silence the crowd. They've got it in their hands. While you can say, this can happen, this can happen, this can happen, it's whether Liverpool have actually got it in the locker themselves to do it, and that's debatable. If they'd responded against Crystal Palace, you'd all be a lot more confident, because it looks like they're on the last legs. You think it's just going to be another disappointing performance.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I was at a press conference on Thursday when Gasperini and the press officer of Atalanta came in, and the Italian media had come over, were all kind of clapping him in, and it was almost just a tie had been won, and you know, they'd had the celebrations on the pitch with all the fans who were, you know, still in the stands. And I mean, if there's one team you don't want to count out, and you wouldn't want to face it, you know, that when they're a wounded animal, it's probably Liverpool, isn't it, given what they've done before and what they've done under Klopp.
Do you know what? I'm not sure about that, actually, because someone was making a point yesterday on social media, and the more I started to think about it, it carried a little bit of weight, that when Liverpool get into a bit of a rut, sometimes it can take them a little while to get out of it. We've seen it when, you know, 3 years ago when they lost six home games on the bounce, haven't gone, what, 3 or 4 years without losing one. And last season, January, I remember that being a really difficult period, and Liverpool just showed no signs of responding to it in terms of the players. I just wonder, I mean, we're not privy to what Klopp says behind the scenes to his players, but I wonder how much, you know, anger and, you know, the old hairdryer treatments. I just wonder how much of that goes on. At times, perhaps there could be more of it.
Documentary is going to be interesting, isn't it?
Well, I'm not even sure that they'll get near the dressing room to find out the inner workings of it, but you just feel like this could be an opportunity for Klopp to really give his players the rocket and see if they are able to respond to that on Thursday. Like I say, I still think it's possible that Liverpool are 2-0 up after 25 minutes or whatever. You know, they have got that ability in them. But you're looking on reversing a little bit of a trend that's been going for a few weeks now, I think, probably since just before the international break, actually. And that isn't easy to turn around for Liverpool. So we'll see, I guess.
I mean, someone commented, says we beat Atalanta 5-0 at theirs before.
No they fans.
Still beat the 5-0. Maybe.
No fans, that is purely the thing. There's no fans.
Was it in their ground, was it? Weren't they playing away from home at the time?
Potentially.
That one they were playing at theirs, were they not? I think they played the year before the San Siro.
Yeah.
But says, you know, if we score early, maybe we can get in the heads. I mean, it's a big ask, isn't it?
That is definitely a thing. You know, an early goal changes the complexion of the tie, really. And like we say, Liverpool do have the it in them to, like against Fulham at Anfield in December, for example, we're getting beat. There's a 3-2 in the final moments and 1-4-3, and that's happened quite a lot. But, I don't know. Maybe just I've come into the office on a Monday morning a little bit of a negative mindset, but they just need probably the performance of the season on Thursday.
Yeah, if we talk about statement wins, I mean, that would be quite a statement, wouldn't it?
That would give them the lift they need to go in and challenge for the title over the final weeks.
Yeah.
But they've got to find an 11 that can do it. And from what we've seen the last couple of weeks, it's not there. It's going to be a massive few days for Klopp to find the answers.
Absolutely. Well, I'll ask you both for a starting 11 for that game. So, Theo, I'll start with you, the goalkeeper, and your back five.
This is what I alluded to earlier. Like, Kelleher's competition is the Europa League. But in this case, do you just go with Alisson? Like, it's harsh to Kelleher. You'd have every right to be annoyed if you were him. But just get some rhythm. You've got to think long-term here. Alisson is not going to be knackered and fatigued for over the next few weeks. If he's back from injury, start with him in this case. Then back four, or Van Dijk starts. Kranz's probably going to come in. Robertson starts left back. And then do you go Trent at right back and take him off on the hour mark? And just see how the game's going. The alternative is Joe Gomez, but you need goals, so you've got to go attacking, and Trent is an attacking fullback as they come. But it's how fresh he looks in training the next few days, having come through longer than he expected to on Sunday. That is the four in defence you'd like to start, but we'll see if it actually can happen.
Gussie?
Yeah, I agree with Theo on the Alisson points. I think it's time just to stick him in goal now and have no kind of... ambiguity over who starts in goal. Alisson's back, so he's in goal, and Trent, I'd start Trent. You know, you need goals, you need creative players. Robertson, you know, we thought he was excellent yesterday, the only one, and keeping faith with Canate and obviously Van Dijk. So it's theoretically Liverpool's strongest back five.
And midfield, Gussie, bringing the likes of Harvey Elliott in, are you giving Curtis Jones another run out, or what kind of changes even?
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough now. I'm not of the mindset of completely throwing it away. I still think Liverpool can. That there is a world in which they do score early and panic Atalanta a little bit, maybe. So, I'd go with Endo, McAllister, and probably Szoboszlai. You know, it's maybe a little bit harsh on Elliott, who has proven himself to be a good player and a bit of an impact sub, actually. So maybe he can make an impact off the bench. So Szoboszlai, McAllister and Endo.
Yeah, I think you need the fresh legs here. Like, Szoboszlai's come on the last two, and he's not looked right still. Endo needs to be taken out the firing line. And McAllister's the best of the three, but he's nowhere near what he was doing 2 weeks ago. I haven't played so much.
Mm.
But then McAllister has to be the six because you can't drop both of them. Bacetic isn't ready to start a game yet. I put Elliott in there, but then it's the only alternative to complete a trio, Gravenberch, because it'd be a big ask to get Jones to start three games in a week. Liverpool have got all these midfield options, but none of them are in that pristine physical condition to go and do what's needed in this. McAllister, Elliott and Gravenberch, just it's fresh.
And I'll stick with you for the front line.
Oh, this is easier. Jota, Gakpo, and then Diaz. That would upset Mo Salah, but he's just...
He feels like he needs a break from the firing line at the moment.
You give him a break every week at the moment. It's still not looking like you can't play through it. Diaz is the one who's looking best out of that first choice front three, but then you're saying it's not natural having that. You don't have the inverted player on the right-hand side cutting in, but maybe it gives Salah some anger in his stomach. So Liverpool can be 2-0 up, 30 minutes to go, so I can come on and win you the tie. But that is very, very optimistic.
Go see, you sharing the same optimism, Steve?
Anger in the stomach. It's a strange place for the frustrations.
Yeah, I was thinking that when I said it.
Fire in his belly. I'm starting Salah. Jota for Nunes is the only one. I think maybe bringing on Nunes with 25 to go, Liverpool need a goal.
Bit of chaos.
Yeah, I think that could be a potential way back into it. But yeah, I think Jota, just to get some momentum and rhythm and minutes under his belt, and he needs that, doesn't he? And we know that if he gets half a chance, you know, he could just sneak a goal. He's got Atta against him in a few years back, of course. And Diaz hasn't done too much wrong, really. I think he's been one of Liverpool's brighter players of the last few weeks. So, yeah, Diaz left, Mo Salah right, and Jota down the middle.
Well, thank you for your time this morning, guys. We've enjoyed it. Even though it's not been as positive as we'd have liked, we've got through it together. That's the most important thing.
But... And you know how negative the goal score predictions would be.
Prediction,
oh, yeah. We'll have one. Go on, Theo.
Oh, let's go a positive 1-1.
I make the case most weeks for Liverpool. You know, sort of rather than Mark Lawrenson for the the Invincibles prediction on his BBC. But I can't see Liverpool making it to Dublin. I'd say they win 1-0.
Yeah, well, we'd take any win at this stage of the season, I think, wouldn't we? But thank you for joining us today on the Blood Red Podcast. I've been Keith McDonald, Theo Squires and Paul Ghost.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.